On this Reign of Christ Sunday, I want to begin the sermon with a Reign of Christ prayer. So you get a bonus prayer here. And I'll invite you to align your heart in aspiration as we pray, leaning into a vision of a world firmly established in Christ's reign of peace, a vision of home. Let's pray. And then, all that has divided us will merge. Compassion will be wedded to power. Softness will come to a world that is harsh and unkind. And then all people will be gentle. All people will be strong. No person will be subject to another's will. And then all will be rich and free and varied. The greed of some will give way to the needs of many. And then all will share equally in the earth's abundance. All will care for the sick and the weak and the old. All will nourish the young. And then all will cherish life's creatures. All will live in harmony with each other and the earth. Everywhere will be called Eden once again. As it is in God, may it be so. Paradox is often at the heart of the spiritual life, especially when we're trying to figure it all out and make rational sense of everything. In today's passage from Revelation that Ron shared with us, God self-declares as the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. As revealed to John in a vision, the Almighty stands alone as the one who is, who was, and who is to come. Does that sound at all familiar? Christ has died. Christ is risen. Christ will come again. This is one of the central mysteries of our faith. Christ has come into our lives and transformed us. And yet still we wait. We're just now on the verge of our annual season of waiting. Waiting for Christ to come into the world. On one level, remembering his first coming, yet also anticipating his return. Even though we may be used to it by now, it's a lot to try and get a handle on. But this sermon will not be a deep exploration of eschatological theology, speculating on the end times. I can hardly pronounce the word, let alone understand much of it. Nor will I be exploring the intricacies of the physics of eternity, though both of these searches may be fascinating and fruitful for you. There's a time and place for that, of course, but today I'm feeling far more called to invite each of you into a deeper experience of God's presence, into a deeper experience of Christ's peace. I'm convinced that this is how we heal, how we grow, and how we serve from our very foundation, from the inside out. As we began planning for this service more than a month ago, Jason had a bit of a chuckle when we realized that I would be preaching on Reign of Christ Sunday. Jason knows that I'm not especially drawn to language or scripture centering on Jesus' kingship or his reign, but I recognize that it's language and it arises from a specific time and place. Language that was very relatable for people back then. Language that can still be relatable for many today. So rather than getting hung up on the language, on the outer shape of things, I'm trying to tune into the essence of what is being expressed. The book of Revelation itself, full of dreamlike imagery, also invites us to try and discern its essence, rather than take everything literally. And this is not easy. It's a controversial book interpreted in countless ways. Some churches still don't recognize the book of Revelation in the biblical canon. And a part of me is tempted to write it off, yet I have a sense of the power of dreams and visions. Our dreams can speak to us in incredible ways. Even if some seem utterly fantastical or downright random, still, signs and symbols can emerge in our dreams with the capacity to speak to us in our own language. They have the capacity to guide our lives if we'll allow them the space to open up to us. Dreams often have a paradoxical quality to them, feeling so real, so deeply true, and yet we wake up to wonder where it all went, why we can't see it anymore. And as I was reflecting on it, I wondered if perhaps the reign of Christ might be a bit like this, like a vision imprinted on our hearts, something so real within us, but hard to see when we look around at the world. Founded upon Jesus' union of humanity and divinity, Reign of Christ Sunday calls our attention to the end times, when the kingdom of God will stretch to the ends of the earth, it's written. And standing here on the doorstep of Advent, this is what we are both anticipating and remembering. Christ coming into the world and making all things new. The paradox here is that the kingdom of God has already been established, yet not fully realized. It's both already and not yet. As Maya mentions in this week's email, the interplay of already and not yet is a central tension in our faith. Our Advent theme of close to home acknowledges the already but not yet, naming our deep longing for God to come close to us, feeling God as our ultimate home, and yet waiting for the fullness of this home to be realized. So we might wonder, how will the reign of Christ, the kingdom of God, be realized? Perhaps we can collaborate, working with the Prince of Peace to realize his reign, literally bringing peace on earth. I was thinking this week of the message at the heart of the John Lennon and Yoko Ono song, Happy Christmas. We'll be hearing it on repeat among many others over the next weeks, but it was almost exactly 50 years ago in early December of 1971 that they released this song, and also they put up posters and billboards all over, taking out magazine ads saying, "War is over." And in parentheses, "If you want it." War is over, if you want it. At the heart of this particular already and not yet, John and Yoko's peace activism gives us a key role in realizing peace on earth. We can literally choose it. I was watching a show that Maya has spoken about a couple of times from the pulpit here, Ted Lasso, just the other day, and a quote jumped out at me, which Ted credits to a made-up UCLA coach, though it's actually a quote from Harry Potter. And here it is. "Far more than our abilities, it is our choices that show who we truly are." Far more than our abilities, it's our choices that show who we truly are. So who are we? What are we choosing? Are we seekers of God's kingdom? Seekers of Christ's reign of peace? Is this perhaps a part of our personal responsibility? It feels to me at least like an incredible opportunity. A spiritual teacher and friend of mine claims that the highest gift we have as human beings is choosing where we place our attention. You can make of that what you will, but still I ask, what are we choosing? What are we prioritizing in our lives? Anyone who has regularly joined our meditations here at church will have heard me encourage them numerous times to relax into a deepening experience and recognition of the peace that is already here in abundance. I'm inviting and encouraging them to choose peace as we practice. I use the analogy of a radio, the practice of meditation, tuning us in to the frequency of peace. This frequency, which is already being broadcast, even if it's not yet fully recognized. Now, none of us can achieve or accomplish this peace on our own, but we can encounter it more deeply. We can surrender ourselves to it more completely, and we can serve it in all humility. As ever, though, we can only do this work one breath at a time. And maybe this is how the reign of Christ is to be realized. One breath at a time, one choice at a time, one kind act at a time. Toward the end of the book of Revelation, John describes God's vision given to him of a new heaven and a new earth, the already eventually eclipsing the not yet. And John shares his vision, trusting that it is in service of God's kingdom. And I wonder, perhaps our dreams are also speaking to us, encouraging each of us to activate our own gifts in service of realizing peace on earth. Just between services, I spoke with Peter, and he shared a dream that was doing just this work, God speaking to him and encouraging him. And so I encourage you to pay attention to your own dreams, your own visions, and allow the images and the signs that speak to us to do their deep tidal work in our hearts. We can let wisdom and intuition emerge, even sneaking in from the periphery. And we need not seize on any specific shape a dream may take, understanding that they will continue to have rough edges and varied interpretations. When taken literally, even John's vision from our scripture this morning, that can rub up awkwardly against something Jesus had previously said. We notice that the scripture proclaimed today the coming of Christ's kingdom by saying, "Look, he is coming with the clouds. Every eye will see him." Whereas Jesus himself said, the kingdom of God is not coming with things that can be observed, nor will they say, "Look, here it is," or "There it is." For in fact, the kingdom of God is within you. Much like Jesus' parables, we can learn to look for the essence of a dream rather than taking them literally. God speaks to us in our own language. As I reflect on the reign of Christ today, friends, I feel the Prince of Peace calling us to realize the kingdom of God, which is already here, already established in our very center. We don't have to focus so much on the not yet, even though it remains true. But gradually, we can choose the peace already here and sharing it as we're able. I believe we will all inevitably come to see the fullness of God's kingdom sooner or later. God will reveal it to us. So why not allow ourselves to soften into it a bit, to lean back on the everlasting arms, and to steep in the peace that passes all understanding? We don't have to hold on so tightly. It's okay to let go and allow ourselves to be held. We won't disappear. In fact, we'll come to life. And I realize that it's hard to have faith in this, especially for those who have been through much hardship. I'm thinking now of folks out west after a summer of drought and wildfires, now with severe flooding and landslides, with roads and railways submerged or destroyed, widespread scarcity of daily essentials. It must be really hard to trust that this is all taking place on a foundation of perfect peace. Even if your faith in Jesus' reign of peace is strong, it's surely hard to choose it in moments like this. And yet, even in the face of this catastrophe, as with almost all others, we see people responding to support those most at risk. We see people organizing, making food, sending helicopters packed with supplies to those stranded and those out of reach. So again, I suggest that we play a part in realizing the reign of Christ's peace on earth. Perhaps by choosing peace from moment to moment, we are realizing the kingdom of God, bringing what is deep within out into the world around us, into our relationships and our work, into our intentions and our actions, into our habits and our hobbies. Friends, we are closer to home than we know. In truth, in our very depth, we've never left home. Some say this life is a journey of our awareness catching up to that reality. but we don't have to work it all out in our heads. God gives us hearts broad enough and soft enough and strong enough to embrace any paradox, to handle any hardship, and to trust the path beneath our feet. And even when the stars fall, still Jesus guides us home. May it be so.